AJ, Bridge and Spider.
For breakfast.
Welcome to the AJ, Bridge and Spider podcast with regular contributors, the PM.
I like sport, but I don't like people, so I don't like going along and having to touch members of the public.
Oh, yeah.
Akmal Saleh.
You know, him and my wife went into the bedroom with a spanner and I sat down and watched Netflix.
Donald Trump.
Good morning, Gold Coast. My favorite kind of coast, believe me.
Funny man, Greg Sullivan.
I'm aiming to leave behind morbidly obese and just go for obese.
Look out, overweight, here I come.
And everybody's favourite, Ed Cavalli.
And I remember that in 1832, I've heard that tape and the secret sound was the sound of a chimney sweep falling out of a chimney.
Yeah. So sit back on the leather lazy boy recliner, grab a mocha and enjoy the ride. It's AJ, Bridge and Spider's podcast.
Our comedy all-star week continues again this week with Greg Sullivan with us this morning.
Yeah, morning, Greg.
Oh,
morning.
Hang on.
Good to see you.
Hey! Hey! What's with the year, Greg?
Well, we got three before. Let's calm down.
Alrighty-o. Awesome.
Hey, what about the... did you see in the bulletin today?
Yes.
Plans for a super Centrelink.
Wow.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're thinking of moving out of their place at Palm Beach and going to either... Robina or Varsity Lakes.
Yeah, but the one at Palm Beach I don't mind because it kind of makes house prices a bit more affordable around there, just a little bit more.
Well, I reckon Varsity Lakes would be a great place to put it because what better for kids going to and from uni? You just pass the centre link and go, yeah, that's where you're headed.
Just drop straight in there.
Yeah.
You're back, Peter.
Yeah, and they're worried about the lack of parking in the area.
Mm.
And
yeah.
Yeah, especially...
Here we go.
Especially if you end up with six or seven cars up on blocks. Because they're not going to move out quickly, are they? But you know who's the most upset about it?
Yes.
The bloke who owns the building in Palm Beach.
Oh.
Oh, he's not happy.
Well, he says that they're his best tenants, the Centrelink.
Yeah.
Because he said, oh, they always pay on time. He must be the only person in Australia who gets money out of Centrelink easily. I just imagine him on the phone going, give us me money! Give us me money! Blowing his durry smoke in his kid's face.
You must press 2 to receive your money.
What about Serena Williams?
No, she's not happy. Overnight, fined, I think, nearly over $20,000. She was up for 23 grand slams and then, goes down.
She had a grand slam.
She did have a grand slam.
Didn't she bend the hell out of that racket?
Oh, yeah.
She pretzeled it, basically.
Yeah, but we were saying earlier, I don't know.
When I heard that she'd broken a racket, I'm thinking there's so many parts of her body she could do that with. You know, like she doesn't have to hit it on the ground. She can put it between her shoulder blades. And you know, I don't reckon that was meant for the umpire, that racket abuse.
Oh, really?
Oh.
What was it for?
Her two-year-old was in the stands.
Oh, yeah.
She's not going to play up after she's saying that, is she? Oh, jeez, Mum's always got a racket in her hand. But, you know, they reckon that it would have been... Look, I've seen it, and they've got a whole compilation of male players in the US Open, even in the final, playing up more than her and not being penalised at all.
Okay.
And they're saying, you know, it's because she's a woman.
Yeah.
Right.
And maybe because she's black. And I'm just thinking, you know, if she was a man, it'd make me feel a lot better about her having bigger muscles than
Hey, Greg's here this week with us at Gold, and he's supporting Bridget too at her big night at the Miami Marquette.
Oh, you'll kill it.
And if you'd like a couple of tickets, give us a bell now, 13:27:10, for Bridges' big comedy all-star night with Akmal Saleh.
Yeah, we've got Akmal Saleh, more to come. And we wanted you to come along because you were there at my first gig ever.
Yeah.
But you're not going to be around that day, unfortunately.
I'm going to be overseas doing stand-up because I'm an excellent comedian.
And we're not paying enough. Let's just be honest.
You guys don't have enough money.
He has a job.
Yes. Yeah, that's right.
AJ, Bridge and Spider on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook and on air weekdays from 5 on Gold 92.5.
breakfast table this morning, folks. Whoa. Spider informs us that Boston is going to the Sunshine Coast on a school camp.
Yes.
Not just Boston. Boston's going with the school, the teachers, and Mrs. Everett is
booking a
hotel to be on the Sunshine Coast for the entire trip so that she can keep an eye over Boston. I cannot believe this.
I do get it. I mean, I do, but I think I didn't experience that with Mum because being the sixth child, she's really gave up by me.
You bet me to see if I'd call her.
I know.
Oh, no.
She's on the phone. Cherie, you can't be serious.
I am deadly serious.
Why would you do this?
Because it's my job as a mother to protect my child, and that goes right until he's the age of 92. I will protect him always, and that is my job. I don't palm my child off and go, yeah, no worries. And that is my job. And the thing is, get this, if anything was to happen and they were to ring out and say, oh, we've just taken Boston to the hospital, you imagine how many lives I would endanger and probably kill on the way to the Gold Coast, from the Gold Coast to the Sunshine Coast Hospital. Okay. It would be mayhem.
So you, in other words, you're saying you have no intention of letting your child go as a mother?
Not ever.
AJ finds this fascinating and Bridge is on the fence. He's not quite sure.
I don't find it fascinating.
I find it ridiculous.
I find it ridiculously unbelievable.
That
a grown person would do this with their eight. How old's Boston now?
12.
12.
Nearly 12.
12.
He's nearly old
enough to drive a car.
He does drive a car at the farm in New Zealand. anyway.
But that's okay for him to do that, is it? Okay.
You just.
Oh, seriously.
No, but so often women have children, and when they turn five and go to school, they go, oh, that's it, my job's done. But I'm telling you, you just wait and see. My child will not be screwed up, I can assure you. He might not know how to get dressed, but he won't be screwed up.
Is it the teachers in particular, or it wouldn't matter what teachers or what school, you'd still do this?
I'd do it with my own mother. I ring like 15 times a day when my own mother has them. No one looks after your child like you do.
And no one
knows your child.
Oh.
I'll just repeat that. No one looks after my child like I do. You are like another child. You are a big brother. You're not a father.
But Cherie, there's one thing about looking after your child and being totally obsessive. I'd call this totally obsessive.
Oh.
No, not at all. Boston's travelled the world. He snowboards, he snowsies, he does heaps of stupid extreme stuff, and he gets to experience life. Amazing things and opportunities. He goes to Aboriginal communities. I take him to, you know, take him to places where my mother has a heart attack and says, you're not taking my son there and my grandson there. So he does all those things, but no one, you've got to give guidance to children.
Well, I tell you what,
children fall off the rails.
You're going to go to see a doctor and get some of your anxiety tablets it's going to drive you to more drink, I'm telling you.
No, but I've got my GPS coordinates and he's got a tracking device.
You know, I don't have kids, but I know what I'm like when my dogs get minded and I call all the time and check that they're okay.
Yeah,
I mean, that's not even a child. So I kind of get that. But I do have one problem with this.
What?
And that's that you don't have this same concern when Spider looks after Boston. I wouldn't go anywhere.
Don't worry, there's a list of my along, but Boston's the adult in that relationship.
Okay.
So as long as Boston knows the rules, then that's fine. He looks after his father.
Now, how are the other children going with this? Because you don't want them saying to Boston, you know, oh, your mother's here, you know, whatever. Because
no, seriously.
How does that go?
I'm being totally honest. I had kids running up to me all last week at school going, can I have your mobile phone number so I can give it to my mum, please? Because you're going to be up there, and if I need anyone, then my mum can ring you.
Oh, well, that's good.
The kids think it's pretty cool. Don't worry.
Well, you're a cool mum. You are a cool mum.
Yeah, don't tell her that.
You're the cool mum.
She doesn't even go.
I tell you what, I'm like the lioness. Anyone messes with my cub and it's all over.
That's so funny. She'll do that, but she won't give him a lunch order. No.
That's not helping him.
Exactly.
Show the tweed heads. What do you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I think she is.
As a school teacher, I can see the other side, and as much as I appreciate what Cherie is saying, the problem being she's not building any sort of resilience in Boston.
Yep.
She's not a helicopter parent. She's a Black Hawk Down parent.
Oh, yeah, don't worry about that. What happens if something does go wrong? At least she's only 5 minutes away.
The problem is that Cherie does teacher is the one who's filled out all the medical, all the permission. As a teacher who's been on many, many camps with children, the amount of supervision, the amount of T's we cross and I's we dot for our students is unbelievable. And foremost, it's about the kids. We are parents as well, and we understand where they're coming from, but, you know, it still comes down to that idea. You've got to build some sort of resilience in our kids, and this is the problem.
Absolutely.
Okay, thanks, Jo.
Jo.
No problem. Have a good one. Good luck, Sheree.
I'll be up on the Sunshine Coast as well. Stephen, up at Coomera, what do you think? Is Sheree over the top?
Oh, I think a little bit. I think maybe she should name herself Estelle and name Boston Sylvester Stallone, like in that movie, Stop or My Mum Will Shoot.
AJ, Bridge and Spider on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook and on air, weekdays from 5 on Gold 92.5.
And how iconic is this? Because we're joined here by the supercar driver himself. 23 Red is the racing team he drives for. We're talking about Will Davison. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Morning.
The funny thing about this, and like you've won Bathurst, in 09 in 2016. You love the track here, but you got stuck in traffic.
Mm.
Exactly. Well, they're starting the construction. So do I blame that of the circuit this morning, I believe? But no, up in Helensvale, that quite doesn't cut it up there. But yeah, not sure what the excuse was, but I'll dig one out. But my bad, a bit late this morning.
Well, when a race car driver turns up late, you know the traffic must be bad because if you can't whiz through it.
Exactly. But, you know, I'm very patient these days. I just sit back and I don't do anything wrong on the roads, you know, behave myself. There's not much you can do on that M1.
Is it frustrating? How do you separate, you know, when you race a car, so you say you jump out of the, you know, the Gold Coast 600, you just had a race and you think, yep, okay, I've got to drive home now. Is it frustrating?
It's not actually. Like, you sort of, it's like a switch. Like, you literally clock off from work, you know what I mean?
Yep.
So the last thing I feel like doing is, you know, having any form of stress or doing anything silly on the road.
That.
I can't be bothered, but I won't lie. Like, in traffic or, you know, a bit of incompetent driving, it does do my head in a little bit. I don't quite have the patience for some of the stuff you see on the roads these days. It's not good.
Well, with the construction, of course, around, you know, Main Beach and with the building of the V8s, we can at least curse and blame you guys, the drivers. Who do you blame when you're stuck in that exact traffic when we're building scaffolding and stuff just for you?
Well, that's what I just said, didn't I? I said, well, it's day one of construction for the race right now. So am I going to blame them? I don't know, but you just got to, we've got to accept it. I mean, I'm always on my bike. I sort of come down here training and cycle through, and I see it just evolve over the next month or two. It's an exciting time of the year for us, and it's pretty cool to see it take shape in a pretty quick space.
Yeah, well, you guys love it. Coming to the Goldie. It's just a great
place. Most of them live here. What do you mean? That's why they love it. They can walk home.
Exactly. Exactly. It is. I live here now. I have done for quite a while, so it's that one race where I jump on the motorbike, ride into the track every morning and to beat the traffic, I might add.
Of course, yeah.
But it's something different. Stay in my own bed and, I do classify it as a home race and it's a couple of those surfboards sitting at home. They're probably two of my more prouder trophies that I got sitting at home.
What about Sandown this weekend? Close championship at the top end of it. What are you expecting Sandown?
Yeah, exactly. Heading off to Sandown tomorrow. So it's the first of the three endurance races. So obviously the Gold Coast 600 being the final of those three.
Yep.
So, yeah, the championship fight up the front. Come the Goldie 600, it's going to be electric. Anything's going to happen in these next two races. So that fight between Wincup, Van Gisbergen, and McLaughlin up the front, these events are 300 points each. So it's sort of make or break. No one really looks at that tally until we leave here on the Sunday night after the race. If you've survived those three big ones, then it's the run to the flag. So, it's going to be a full-on battle. But there's guys like us, smaller teams, that we certainly don't care about their championship fight. And we're there to steal glory in these big races and try and upset the party.
Yeah, well, what are the biggest rivalries in it, even off the track? We know on the track.
Yeah.
Is there any big rivalries off the track?
Jeez, I don't know. I mean, we've all had our own little... We've all had our own dust-ups over the years.
Yeah.
It's like this circus that just travels round, you know. So most of us have been doing it for a long time. So you can't afford to hold grudges for too long. Because it just keeps going. Like, I've had it before where you just keep dusting each other up. And eventually you've got to go, right, let's call it even.
Yeah.
But we've all had some run-ins. And generally there's a fair bit of respect between most of us. Rivalries, I don't know. The people are trying to go, who's done the most races? Who's the oldest driver on the grid? They're not really things you're that proud of. But there are all sorts of little things. things drivers are trying
to do. Okay, what about then, quickly, Bridget's got a big All-Stars comedy night coming up. If there's one driver out there that had to go on stage and do a 15-minute set of comedy, who would you back in?
Well, if it was completely off the cuff, unfiltered, I'd go, go Davey Reynolds all Davey day, every
Reynolds.
Day.
Davey Reynolds, he's a classic, actually.
He's
an
absolute loose cannon, but he's one. I've been mates with Dave a long time.
He reminds me of the Heart of Gold.
Yeah, he is like that. You don't know what's going to come out of his mouth, and he's a good boy. He's actually super intelligent, too, so he's witty, but some people wouldn't know that. But, he'd be the one. How could you go past that?
All right, let's get him on.
I don't know. I couldn't promise what you're going to get. Probably someone to get in trouble at the end of it, most likely.
Well, thanks for making an end to AJ Bridge and Spider, mate. And keep the radio on because you can win tickets with Al after nine.
Oh, there we go.
To the GC600.
They don't give us enough, so I need for some friends, for sure I'm in.
AJ Bridge and Spider on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and on air weekdays from 5 on Gold 92.5.
Had a great night, Friday night. Jamie, my fiance and I, we decided, we're going to go out. Had a big week and had a bit of a tough week. My dad's really not well in hospital. And so I thought, it's been a while between drinks, so let's have some.
It was Friday night and I had the munchies.
I don't know.
Some song.
I'm not sure. Anyway, so Jamie has been in many bands, and so he's like, let's go and watch a band. I'm like, okay. So we went to the Shark Bar at Miami, and upstairs, they often put on lots of bands. So we were walking across the road, and we looked out, we went, oh, there's people everywhere here. Oh, that's pretty good. And we're walking up close, we're going, they're very young. Oh, okay. Oh. Right, they're really young. Oh, my God, are these guys like 16? They look that young. You know when you're old when people in nightclubs and pubs now look 16?
Yeah.
So we walk into the gig and there's, I don't know, all these bands playing. I have no idea what this band is, but let me just set the scene. We walk in, everyone looks like 16-year-old grommets. The 90s are back, by the way. Yeah. I felt like I had time travelled back to when I was 16 into Nirvana and everything. Even the jeans, all the clothes they were wearing, I'm like, it was like I was in the 90s, probably about 1992.
Last night I was driving home and I heard Radio Birdman on the radio.
Wow,
that's 90s.
Wow, there we go. That's when you know. So there was a mosh pit and this was the band. Have a listen. That scream, by the way, was someone who decided to stage dive and then the sea parted and it fell on his head.
Straight through. Nice relaxing music, though.
Yeah, it was. So nice, we walked Friday in, we looked around and went, oh, no, oh, no. And everyone was moshing and, everyone was just getting thrown left, right and centre. And I stood there and I thought, okay, Jamie, you wonder why everyone's being polite to us. Everyone was like, oh, yes, no, excuse me, here we are, we'll part ways, because we were like the elderly in there. So I'm standing there and I said to Jamie, I get it. This crowd think we're the parents of this band.
Oh, yes.
And they did. Yeah. So I had a chick who was quite drunk, came up to me and went, congratulations, you must be so proud of your son. I'm like, oh, my God, this is bad. So then I started to be a pageant mum at the side of the stage.
Claim it.
Claim it, clapping, thumbs up. Going, you go, son, go, go. Oh, and then, buddy. I know, and then a few people were walking past and kind of giving us a wide berth. And we realised if the ones that didn't think we were the parents, they thought we were undercover cops. So to play on that, I started lifting my collar up and so did Jamie. We started saying random things into our collar. So I was saying, the chook is cooked and the muffin's coming out of the oven. And you watched everyone scurry. They were like, the dove has flown and the Asahi bowl is empty. We were just making up random stuff. And they were just dispersing left, right and center. It was the best night, but I felt 82.
Oh, hilarious.
AJ Bridge and Spider on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook and on air weekdays from 5 on Gold 92.5.
He hasn't touched the ground.
Five to six.
Yeah, it was a little bit of finals over the weekend for the NRL and the AFL.
A little bit.
Oh, well, it was only really two cracking games. One was Friday night, Melbourne Storm. They were unbelievable. Just winning by a solitary point down there in Melbourne in front of nearly a packed crowd. Good crowd too. There's only two places that are drawing crowds at the moment. Mm. Is actually in Queensland. We saw yesterday the Broncos, good numbers. Ooh. And also down in Melbourne for the NRL. And in the AFL, they had two cracking crowds Thursday, Friday night. Over 90,000 both nights. First time ever the MCG's hosted two games in a row with 90,000 people there. So good crowds. But in the NRL, you know, Sydney's got five teams left. Melbourne's only got one. So, you know, it's going to be New South Wales versus Victoria at the moment. But the Warriors look stunned. The Warriors look stunned like they've never played in September before. It was like, hang on, we never play in September. What do we actually do here? What are we supposed to do? They haven't played finals since 2011.
They crumbled.
Unfortunately, they're out. And in the AFL, you know, we got representation in Melbourne, Sydney with the Giants, and also the West Coast Eagles. So a couple of states still alive there. But Queensland, we've got nothing. We've got nothing to look forward to. We've got no teams in the NRL.
Broncos
no
gone.
No teams in the AFL. They're all gone.
Yeah.
Like, nothing. Like, our winter carnival, spring carnival's gone. There's not, like, nothing.
What do we got? Cricket?
Not yet.
The Queensland Bulls.
The Queensland Bulls we got a little forward to. Or the V8 supercars, which we're going to get onto a little later on.
Yeah.
And but the biggest news over the weekend, I think, was we've seen it all over the news. Rob McLeod's spoken about it, and it is Serena Williams. Serena Williams being fined for her outburst at the US Open. Naomi Osaka, the first Japanese to win the US Open. And, look, it was fantastic. Look, it was fantastic for the Japanese to win. She was always going to win. This is the silly thing about Serena Williams. And let's be honest, this isn't the first time Serena's gone off. She goes off a bit. And it was actually good that the umpire actually stood up to her, showed her, you know what, you've got to play the game. And she gets coached by her box a lot of times. And a lot of players do. But if you get caught, you got to suffer the consequences.
Of course.
It was confusing, though. I wasn't sure if the crowd were clapping the umpire's decision or clapping Serena or booing Serena or at the end or booing the umpire. Andy Roddick has come out to say, worst refereeing ever. A lot of people are saying, I can't believe the way the greatest player has been treated. And others are saying, suck it up.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's divided everybody. And I think it divided the crowd. They weren't quite sure. I think they were on Serena's side early. And then when she started going off, they weren't. Because if you're there, you don't really hear exactly what she's saying.
No.
If you're watching it on television, you can get a replay so much easier.
That's right.
And so much quicker. But you know what they've got to do? I think the main thing here, and you see it throughout a lot of the Grand Slams, and Bridge, you would have done it. I would have done it definitely if I was playing you know, professional tennis. They need stronger rackets.
No, well, you want to feel it break.
No, but they smash them. All this graphite stuff's no good. Make them out of solid steel. So if you hit it, it actually, you know when it used to vibrate back into your hand and you used to have to, like it used to hurt your hand.
Yeah.
I reckon they need stronger rackets you know, because then it's more frustrating.
You know, like those soft closing drawers now? They're so bad if you're a bit angry and you want to slam it shut.
Yeah,
that's
you can't
right.
do
you
it.
You want a racket that you can bang.
Yeah, bang, 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 and you can't break.
Yeah, welcome to it. Name the year for the week. Who are we saying hello to, Bridge? Shout out.
Oh, hello to Dave, who works, basically manages around the dispatch area of Tweed City Shopping Centre. Dave, good on you, mate. He listens every morning and he goes, Bridge, you're around the money.
Oh, come on, Dave.
And he plays it pretty well too, he reckons. Good on you, Dave. Morning.
Would you like to explain the rules, Peter?
Well, we should get Dave on. Dave should explain it. No, the idea is we've got three pieces of history right here, and we've got to name that year. We could be looking from anything from sport to movies to something that really surprised the world. So I'm up against Bridge, and we get 1 point for every answer we get correct.
Yes.
And if we don't know the answer, we go to the embarrasser, Rod McLeod.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Hello.
And the points don't mean anything, really.
And didn't Dave talk you up?
Oh, did he?
Why do you even bother playing you two? Oh. Why do you even bother?
Love your work, Dave.
Rod? You know when you're getting old, when you look at a trivia night and you go, gee, if they haven't got Rod McLeod hosting that, it's not going to be that good.
It's true.
Seriously, I looked at one, I said, I should give him Rod McLeod's number because he makes him a good night.
Right.
Radio.
Sport first up, and ironically, it's all about this lady. There's been an outburst overnight at the US Open.
Game 7, championship.
It's Serena Williams' first ever Grand Slam.
Gee.
Well, she's, the first one she won.
Yeah, name that year.
She's won 23. And you only win 4 a year, so that takes her back 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, and you wouldn't play. So, gee, I wouldn't know. I'd say Spider. I'm having a guess. I reckon about 2007.
No.
I think a little earlier.
Hmm. It's 10 years.
I'm going to say Bridge 2005.
No.
I reckon even earlier still. I think her first Grand Slam, she was about 17 or something like that, something ridiculous. Oh, 1998.
Gee, you're close. 1999.
Wow.
Really?
That's nearly 20 years on top of your game. That's a good athlete.
Pity she couldn't be more humble.
Anyway. I know. We're going to be talking about that this morning.
Yeah. She can give a good spray, though.
Yeah, but don't bring the women angle into it. That's just like, come on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Rich, I think you were closest to the pin with 2005.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
No, more embarrassing. I said 2007.
True.
We're off to the movies. Kids, name that year.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're not in Kansas anymore. You're on Pandora.
You should see your faces.
We have an indigenous population called the Na'vi. They are very hard to kill.
So that's Avatar, starring the Australian dude. What was his name?
Oh, Sam Worthington.
Oh, yeah.
Who, my son Tyson, you know the story, Bridge?
No.
He was 8.
Yes.
And I was doing the breakfast show with that girl that I kept her out all night, or she kept me out all night.
Oh, geez.
Whoa, hang on. Talk to us.
What's happening?
There was a whole lot of girls on the farm. McLeod's Daughters.
Oh, okay.
Remember that show?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
There
she did the breakfast show, and then she said, "You mind if I bring a mate along? He's a fledging actor." Because it was Tyson's 8th birthday, and she brought this bloke along called Sam Worthington.
Oh, wow.
Way before he was a rock star.
Really?
Yeah, he spent the whole night talking to Tyson at dinner.
Mm. Oh, that's really cool.
Such a nice, I want to know how she kept you out all night.
Anyway,
what's the story?
No, this is no magic. Come on.
Yeah.
Where will you learn, AJ?
What year did you stay out all night?
You don't forget, you put out the bait, and of course...
Oh, of course he put it out. He wants us to ask him. He wants you... You want a big note about McLeod's Daughters.
Avatar, name that year.
I only saw it years after it came out. And when I saw it, I was like, this is incredible. And Sam Worthington was really... he was up there, and then he's kind of disappeared a bit.
Yeah.
He hasn't really done too much. Although he married Lara Bingle and had a couple of kiddies.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Not bad.
Look, I am going to say, such a beautiful movie, James Cameron, Bridge, 2011.
No.
Earlier. I remember Boston got into this late, like you saying, Bridge. And
like
you saying. Yeah, like you saying. I'm going to say 2006.
No.
Ooh, I think slightly later, 2008.
2009.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay, rock and roll.
Who won that? You did.
Mm.
Yeah, well done. You've won the day.
Oh, cool. There we go. Mm. Good start to a Monday.
Good start.
Mm.
Here we go. Final one. Bit of music. Beatles, Hey Jude.
Talk about that a bit later on, the amazing concert that Paul McCartney just had at Grand Central Station in New York. How incredible.
Now, the...
Isn't that incredible? No one even said anything to that.
Sorry, that's incredible.
Thank you. That's lovely of you to reply. Listen, okay?
I'm still trying to think
of decades. I was just thinking about the story, the trivia question that goes with Hey Jude.
Right?
John Lennon originally titled it Hey Jules after his son and then changed the name, yeah.
Really?
Supposedly.
Wow. Okay, cool. I like a bit of trivia. Go on, Peter.
Ah, I wouldn't have
I don't a clue. Know either,
I'm not a Beatles fan. 68.
Yes.
Isn't it amazing how that works?
I know, that's awesome.
Because I have no idea.
Oh, me neither. I knew 60s, but not a clue. Well done.
AJ, Bridge and Spider on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook and on air weekdays from 5 on Gold 92.5.
We have a mega superstar working with us, apart from Greg Sullivan, Bridge. His name is Peter Spider Everett, and he's going on the TV.
I wouldn't go megastar. I'd say, no, it's an interesting concept, SBS to a show, go back to where you come from. Now, there's two shows. One is you follow your family tree back to where you come from.
Yes.
Or you follow you go and see what the refugees go through before they get here. And we know there's a lot of stigma and speculation around refugees and what should happen. And should we close the borders? Should we stop the boats?
It's a great show. I saw it last year.
Yeah.
A really, really interesting look at what goes on. It's very interesting.
Mm. Well, the thing is, they put you first hand. So I've agreed to do it. So I had to spend the weekend in Melbourne with a refugee family.
Okay.
Understanding where, you know, the father had come from when he had fled his home after his dad was killed when he was six.
I weren't allowed to know where this country is yet?
No. Okay. I kind of roughly know because now I've met the family.
Of course.
I'm starting to get the needles this week. And Friday week, I actually travel. Now, it could be any part of the world, but you go and actually live in the refugee camp with them. You find out, and like things that I didn't know, like you'd think there'd only be 100 in there, maybe 1,000. We're talking camps of 10, 20,000 people.
Do you reckon anything's already changed your mind on opinions where you've been quite adamant and maybe had a fairly strong point of view on things?
Yeah, it's been interesting so far, learning and finding backgrounds about people. So an interesting part of, I suppose, a show that I'm going to be a part of that I don't know a lot about and I don't think a lot of people do. You know, we often talk about it. Do we actually know the truth behind it? And that's why we're doing it, to find out.
We're all refugees, if you think.
Yeah, exactly right.
Exactly right.
It's true.
Don't worry, you brought that up over the weekend.
October 1, is it?
October 2, we go live. So they'll cross live to wherever I am in the world, and Ray Martin's going to be hosting it, which will be fantastic.
Full on.
AJ, Bridge and Spider on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and on air weekdays from 5 on Gold 92.5.
I have some big news.
I'm an overweight middle-aged man.
Welcome to Jumanji.
It's a great way to open the show.
And the media, look at all those people back there.
We have more wealth than most Australians. That is true.
Live from Gold 92.5's breakfast table, it's Bridge's feed.
Yeah, latest trending news with Bridge, 14 to 8.
Oh, wouldn't you have loved to have been at Central Station in New York when this pop-up gig happened.
Really?
Oh, well, actually, it was closed off too. It was a secret gig.
Oh, okay.
But everyone could hear it waiting for their trains, which was just awesome. Paul McCartney did a 24-set song list. Did a concert.
What? 24 songs?
Yeah. Did you ever see... Have you ever seen him live?
Yeah, recently.
Did you? Oh,
they're good?
Fantastic. Amazing.
Honestly, it's one of those concerts I just thought, why didn't I go? Here's a little bit of... I reckon the acoustics would be beautiful at Central Station.
Let it be. Let it be.
You would have chucked a couple of dollars in the bin, wouldn't you? If he was busking.
I'd have chucked undies out. I would have chucked everything at him. Don't you worry about that. Get your Bic lighters ready.
If you saw him at Central Station, you'd think that's what he's doing, busking.
You look like Paul McCartney.
Yeah, well, gee, you didn't even sound like him.
Egypt Station, his brand new album out now.
Yeah, very cool. Well done. Thank you. Thank you, AJ. How's this with the Take 5 magazine? Australia's 20th sexy celebrity beards revealed. Come on, Peter, what do you know? What do I always say about beards?
No, they're trendy. They weren't trendy when I liked them, and now everybody likes
them.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
I remember being
Chris
on radio
Hemsworth.
And I used to cop it for liking beards, and now they're all the rage.
They're all the rage.
I'm sorry. Here's the top 20. Waleed Ali from The Project.
Well, he's a number 20.
Number one.
Number one?
Simon Baker. Actor Hamish Blake TV. You know, got Joel Edgerton, the actor. You got Josh Gibson, your mate, AFL player. Chris Hemsworth at number six.
What?
Hugh Jackman, Shane Jacobson, Matty Johns. I'm sorry, I don't recall these guys having more than a 3-day growth.
I'd be very surprised if come Brownlow night and Dally M night that Waleed doesn't win them.
Oh, come on.
He's winning everything at the moment.
What is going on? A beard to me is a big... Like, I dated a guy once who all I could see was eyeballs. Like, he had hair. He looked like... He was a caveman. Caveman, that's what I used to call him. All I saw was that he had blue eyeballs. That was it. He was covered.
Like the lollipop line.
Ginger hair. Ginger everywhere. He was just covered in hair. And that's, you know, that's a beard to me. None of this half, you know, bit of shade on your face. Get a grip, everyone. And sorry, Mike, getting a bit... Am I getting a bit
emotional?
About
You're
that?
Getting emotional. Yeah,
anyway, now finally, you guys are going to back me with this.
Mm.
A lot of the contestants are now getting booted off The Bachelor are saying the honey badger is pretty basic. He won't go deeper with his humour.
Oh. Hello, Captain Obvious.
He is no good with small talk or deep discussions.
Nah, he's got one thing in mind.
Look, let's put it this way.
Let's get
Can we be honest? Can we have a quick little honesty session? He was in the studio, wasn't he?
Yeah.
With us. What did you say when you met him out on the hallway and you came in here?
I started laughing.
And you said?
The gate's open in the top paddock.
That's exactly right. So that's why I thought he was an odd man.
He
would look at us and he said he had cow eyes and he was,
thank God he
could
play football like a lot of people.
He must be getting fed lines. So you're right. I thought I'd write a few lines for him.
Oh, yes.
And yeah, he's a few crumbs short of a biscuit. He'd say that. The gate's open the top paddock. The stubby short of a six pack. A gum tree short of a sheet of bark. And there's a village somewhere that's looking definitely for its idiot.
AJ, Bridge and Spider on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook and on air. Weekdays from 5 on Gold 92.5.
He's a father of four, a decorated AFL legend, winner of the Western Port High Grade 4 Knitting Prize. And he's not afraid to speak his mind. This is Spider Spry, hitting the important and not so important issues.
20 to 8. What's up, big boy?
Yeah, I was pretty embarrassed over the weekend and I was in Melbourne, but junior sport over the weekend here, it was finals time, so a part of a year that everybody loves, junior finals, under 12s, under 14s, under 16s. You know, the end of the year where, the two best teams are fighting it out for the premiership. And unfortunately, there was an ugly incident at a junior footy game here. And I think the ugly part of this is the fact that one of them was a friend of mine, and the other one is an employee of the AFL.
Oh,
they had
okay.
a stoush at a local junior footy club. They had a run in. This ugly parent scenario, we often talk about it, and it is ugly. And when you're talking about finals, when there's representation from all clubs, all different clubs, it is embarrassing for not only those individuals, but the clubs they play for and for the AFL, because this was an employee from the AFL. Okay. And we know how it's emotional watching your child play. And it's hard when, you know, your child gets bagged or tackled or bumped or there's a free kick against. But we need to stress, parents need to say nothing. I remember it was around when I was a kid, when I was playing under 9s, under 10s, under 11s, there was a big all-in fight after one of our under 11s grand finals, and that's the only thing that I still remember about that day in that under 11s grand final. So you don't want to have this stigma stay around. And, you know, cheer, go there and cheer, yes, and toot the horn on the sidelines, yes, and put streamers from the antennas, yes. But if you can't handle the emotions of actually going and watching your kids play, and I know many parents that don't go, don't go. It's easier not to go because you're actually putting more pressure on your kids and it's only junior sport. So let them play, let them enjoy it and allow the coaches to coach.
You've been sprayed by Spider.